Welcome to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with your host, Tom the Digital Architect Liebel. Are you tired of spending money on marketing efforts that produce little or no results? Unable to decide whether internet marketing is right for your business? Want to take your brand to the next level but are unsure of what steps to take next? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in their pursuit of growing a profitable business and learning actionable strategies on how they can outperform brands that are older, bigger, and stronger.
Hey guys, and we're back. Today with me, I have Julie Broad, and she helps people ghostwrite their books. Hey, Julie.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Anytime. So tell me more about this ghostwriting. The first time I heard of someone doing that was the Book in a Box, right? I think that's the famous one.
Yeah. They call them scribes, and they help people, you know, they scribe your book, I guess. So they ghostwrite the book. We do have ghostwriters, but we actually coach you to write your book. And in a lot of cases, our clients are actually the ones either writing it or speaking it and getting it transcribed. And then we edit it from there. So we kind of have all the options to write your book. It depends on how you want to tackle it. But a lot of our clients actually want to write their book themselves. So we coach them through it. All the process starts at the same spot, which is, having a goal for your book, which, you know, in our case of being nonfiction books, it's usually a business related goal, a message that you want to get out there. You want to attract clients, you want to be a paid speaker, all of those kind of things fall into the same bucket, but you got to get clear on what your goal is. And then, you know, we start digging in to figure out what's going to make your book and you interesting, in your niche. In your industry.
How do you pitch these books? Because, you know, I've looked through the Book in a Box, right? And I've done some research on it. And almost all the books they wrote, and they charge a pretty hefty fee too. They don't make any money, right? Like I looked on Amazon because I'm really good with the Amazon book publishing part. And I just seen it. I was like, these guys don't make any money. So how do you pitch them? Like, because, you know, it's a big expense for someone.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the real goal here isn't necessarily to sell a whole bunch of books on Amazon. Certainly, some of the books that I've worked on have sold extremely well. My first book went to number one overall on Amazon in Canada. So it was ahead of the Game of Thrones series and Dan Brown and the whole work. So I sold a lot of books in a very short period of time. And it was all print books at the time, too. So, you know, you certainly can sell books and make money from Amazon. But most people's goal isn't about that. It's really to drive business in some other capacity. And so, if you're a real estate agent or a real estate broker, for example, you just need to attract one or two clients and your book is paid for. So, you know, the way we look at it is how can we get your book into your ideal client's hands? And sometimes that is through Amazon, and it's making sure that it's got the right keywords and it's going to show up. But a lot of what we do behind the scenes is we're looking for conferences and events and podcasts where we can put your book in front of those people and you, really, more importantly, because the book is really just a tool to get you in the door. And that's one thing I found with my book was before my book came out, I really struggled to get in particular TV media, like getting on the news shows and things like that. And I also struggled a bit to get any kind of prestigious speaking gigs because on a lot of the forms that you fill out or you have someone fill out for you, it says, what books have you written? It doesn't say, you know, have you written a book? It says, what books have you written? Like it already assumes you've written a book. And if you haven't, you have nothing to put in that box. So for me, that was kind of the big thing was pre-book. Those things were almost impossible for me to get. And after the book, the opportunities started coming to me. I didn't have to hustle to get them anymore. So there's a lot of reasons to do it, but I think you have to be clear on why you're doing it. Because yeah, if you just want to write a book to help people, and I say this all the time, you know, you probably aren't going to succeed because you have to have a bigger reason driving that book. And if you just put a book on Amazon, nothing happens. You have to do a whole bunch of other things to sell that book.
Yeah, I'm friends with a couple public speakers that they always tell me, Tom, this is what you have to do. You got to write a book in November, December, send it off January, February to get all the new speaking gigs. And then you make money. And then you repeat the process next year and next year and next year. It seems like a hamster wheel that never stops.
Well, I don't know if you have to keep writing. It depends on your niche and your industry, I would assume. But some books will pay dividends for years. The woman who works on our team as the main book marketing pro, she worked for the same author for 4 years and booked him for last year. He was on the road 272 days of the year speaking. Not ideal for very many people, but that's what he wanted. But he'd written the book 4 years prior. So she'd been working with him since he launched it. And it was the same book that was still getting him speaking gigs 4 years later. So I think it does depend on your industry and your niche. A new book does give people a new reason to look at you, but you know, I wouldn't want to write a book a year. That's crazy town.
Well, what he does is he books a flight to Japan and back on the same day. And he is on the plane in business class, just doing nothing but finishing that book. That's his thing. Like, he flies there and comes back, does nothing in Japan. It's just like 14 hours each way, pretty much, I think. Yeah, 14 hours each way. So it's enough for him to finish the book.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, there is something to be said for being disconnected from the world and unavailable. You know, we hold writer's retreats, and that's one thing. I took people's phones away, and you should have seen the sheer panic on their face, like the world was going to end, and they were only going to be apart from their phone for 2 hours at a time. But, you know, they wrote more. Every single person wrote more in 2 days than they'd written in a month or 2 months or even 3 months for some of them. And I think a lot of it's just because they were forced to disconnect from their everyday world and they got things done. So there's probably something to that airplane ride.
I think you should try that. You should get people on a writing retreat and just put them on a flight to Japan and they'll be like, where are we going? And you'll be like, this is it. This is this. Start writing. This is what we're doing now.
I can think of better places to write than an airplane, but I see the point. Maybe we'll get a boat.
Yeah, you won't be taking away any phones because it doesn't matter. It doesn't work up there. So just start writing. There's nothing else to do.
Exactly. No, there is something to be said for that. I like that approach.
So it seems like you guys help market the books and market the people too, not just write the books. Am I correct?
Yeah, for sure. Because my whole thing, and really the driving reason that I started the company was, you know, after my book did so well, a lot of people came to me, and they were even people that had traditional book deals, you know, with Wiley, and they were saying, they're not marketing my book. Like, what do I do? And some of them were even smart and came to me early and said, okay, you know, I know Wiley's not going to do the things I need them to do to sell my book. So what do I need to do? And we would look at their manuscript and kind of review it to make sure it was going to appeal to the people that they wanted, you know, they wanted to reach, and you know that they had their business goal in mind because, you know, the publisher didn't care about it. So I really started to see some gaps, and the big thing I noticed was whether you were self-publishing or you were traditional publishing, you know, you have to market your book and you have to be the one that drives it to make sure that you're achieving your goal with it. And that, you know, the writing is tough, but I think it's harder to get your book out there and to make sure that it does the thing that you want it to do for you, the most important thing, which, you know, like I said, book sales are great, but you know, even if you're selling books, but it's doing nothing for your business, you know, that's typically not going to, you know, really make you that happy at the end of the day. So, you know, really planning the book from the start. So I wanted to create a company that helps people create a book that gets them to that end goal. And a big part of that end goal is making sure that we're doing the things that they need to do to get out there and build their business and, you know, just become that expert and be showcased as that expert that most of them want to be.
So if someone comes to you and says, look, I haven't wrote a book, I've never done any speaking gigs, but I want to, how do you get someone that's new, but an expert at something, to get these speaking gigs? Like, what do you guys actually do?
Yeah, so every person in every industry is different, but it does start with a hook. And so, because you don't need experience. Experience helps for the big gigs, right? Like, you need a demo reel, you need things. So some of that is building up to it. So if you have no experience, you know, we're not going to book you to be on an enormous stage to start with. We have to kind of start. You know, start smaller and work you up. But before you do any of that, you know, we have to make sure that you have a great hook that's going to get you on the stages in the first place. And there's kind of two pieces, right? We look at it from the marketing hook for the book, but then we also look at you and go, okay, what makes you different? And a lot of times that comes down to, what's kind of the one thing that you say in your industry that's different than what everybody else says? And it doesn't have to be dramatic, but, you know, I'll give you a couple examples. So we have one client who's in the fitness industry. She's a fitness coach, and her big thing is dieting is broken. And the fitness industry they want you to be fat. They don't actually want you to succeed. And that's really her thing. So she's never done a lot of speaking, but I think she's incredibly inspirational. And so we'll start her on some smaller things, but her message and what she's saying is different. And I think there's a lot of, her Facebook page alone shows you there's a tremendous response to this kind of a message, but it's finding that unique thing. Like she still teaches a lot of the same things, the same approaches to fitness and health. But that one thing is like the fitness industry kind of wants you to be fat because then they make more money off of you. So they don't really want you to succeed. And then, you know, another approach is in the real estate space, which is where a lot of my background is. You know, a lot of people get into real estate for passive income, but passive is, you're laughing. So obviously you've done some investing and you know how not passive it is, right? It's kind of a joke, but yet people are always selling it on the passive income. That was one of the things I did was took a stance against the fact that it's not passive. And when you let it be passive, that's when your property manager robs rent money from you, which happened to me.
It's not passive. I just thought about that because we're actually in the middle of evicting people from one of the apartments. So I was just thinking, it's not passive. No, I mean, it's not. It's just not. Especially when you said real estate. Like, I've done some stuff which is passive when you get a really good team around it, but not real estate. It's not really doable. I mean, I haven't seen it.
No, and actually, funny enough, like book sales, if you do a really good job of your book, and it's a good market, you know, book sales are passive in the future. Like, I don't promote my books anymore, and I still put in somewhere between $400 to $700 a month into my bank account every month from my books. So books in the future can be passive, but to get it to that point, you have to bust your butt to actually, you know, generate the revenue. But yeah, there's not very many. I don't think there's very many investments in life that are actually passive, but.
No. Anything that you stop touching, it starts diminishing pretty quick. And I've done this with a lot of things, and it's just that's what happens. Like, there's just no going around it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and the unique thing, the different thing that you mentioned, is one of the reasons I stopped reading new business books, because it's just repackaged stuff, and someone's just throwing a new angle on it, you know, which is, it's a great thing, I think, for speaking gigs, because, you know, that's what you need. But for actual info, like, I find the older books pretty much have everything that you need, especially when it comes to like fundamentals and advertising, copywriting, all that type of stuff.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. And I think for a lot of people who are in business trying to stand out today that maybe teach copywriting, they still need to write their book to have their interesting piece, you know, their interesting spin.
Yeah.
So, you know, I get it. And I often look to the books that have been around for 20 years for a lot of, you know, the fundamental influence and even strategic kind of guidance for business. You're right. But that shouldn't stop somebody just because there are some good tried and true books out there, because you still need your voice and your angle and your brand out there. So there's still room for you, but you do have to dig in to get that hook. And you got to be very careful not to just regurgitate what's commonly known in your industry. And I'll give you one example is the SMART goal framework. You know what the SMART goal framework is, right?
Yeah.
I've seen it in so many books, So please, please, if you're writing a book, do not put the SMART goal framework in it. Come up with something different. Find your own spin, you know, or just don't write about it.
Just look for synonyms for SMART and just put that in there and put a little twist on. It's like when I seen that 12-week year or something, someone just took like a regular concept. I mean, you know what? My year is 12 weeks, you know, just. If you're doing it, just say it's 8 weeks, you know.
Well, you know what's funny is there's the 12-week year and then there's the 90-day plan.
Yeah, I've seen those. That's what I mean. They just repackage it. It's hilarious.
So yeah, I think and that's one of the things that we're always kind of pushing our clients is to, you know, find what makes you different and find something different. Like, just don't regurgitate things, because that's where you're going to get a book that, you know, you're going to get those reviews that go, there's nothing new in this book. And, you know, people are pretty tolerant of having some of the same stuff repeated for sure. Cause there are, you know, I think everybody recognizes there's some fundamentals and there's some things that are always true. But you have to have some new stuff in there. So, you know, you got to go and dig, you know, whether it's digging around in that brain of yours, to to find those things that you've done that were different, that were unique, find those interesting stories, or go out and do some research. But you've got to find something new to contribute. Otherwise, you really aren't going to stand out. And, you know, what's the point of going to all this effort if you're not going to stand out at all?
Do you have a checklist that you give people to figure out what's different about them? Because I think that's a challenging thing for a lot of people, just to figure out, like, what is unique about me? Because there's so much info out there. Like, sometimes we all feel like everything we said has been said before. Maybe a little differently, yeah, but I mean, what's the different part?
Yeah, and I wish it was, you know, my main writing coach and I have been working on trying to come up with not quite a checklist, but almost like we call it like the unique extractor, right? Like, how do we extract people's uniqueness from them and figure that out? But it's hard, and we find that it takes multiple conversations. So usually what happens is the initial conversation, we ask a bunch of questions, and the questions are fairly standard. You know, what was your biggest, you know, what was kind of the lowest moment, you know, that you hit, and what happened as a result of it? What did you learn? You know, kind of digging through some of those things. You know, what was your biggest success? You know, what's something you know you do differently? Like, what's something that's helped you create the success that you have today where other people have failed? You know, some of those questions, we start there, but that's not the end of it. Like, that's kind of the starting conversation, and usually it takes a second conversation. And I do find, and I find this with myself too, is it usually takes an outside perspective to say, hey, this is really cool, because the thing that we do that is really, you know, unique and probably seems too easy to us. You know, I have one friend who is just, he's phenomenal at ads, right? He comes up with ad lines, taglines for Google ads, and he sees like targeting in this really miraculous way, and he gets crazy results, you know, really, really low cost per conversions and even low clicks and all these things. And he doesn't see, like, you know, he didn't see the fact that he's really brilliant at this, and he comes at it from a different way, because to him, it's so easy that everybody can probably do it. So I think a lot of times it takes that outside person kind of going, no, like, other people don't do it the way you're doing it, and really kind of helping you see that, because I think it's hard to do for yourself.
Yeah, that's true. How do you market your services? Because it's a very unique clientele that you're going after.
Yeah, I mean, we're still in the early phases of the business, but I'm finding that referrals are pretty phenomenal. You know, people who, you know, because we all kind of travel in circles that are similar to us. So as you start working with someone who's a perfect fit, they have friends and colleagues that are a perfect fit as well. But initially, a lot of it was through conferences. So going to conferences like Podcast Movement, FinCon, which is all for financial bloggers. Those people are really, really good candidates for writing a book because, you know, especially in the financial planning space, you need to be seen as an expert to attract the clients that you want to work with, and they need to, and it speeds up your sales process if somebody's read even a shorter book from you, and they understand what you're looking for and how you're going to help somebody. It speeds up the process. So it makes a lot of sense for people like that to write books and to showcase what they do and how they do it. So yeah, a lot of the conferences we've attended and I speak at, and that has been a great foundation for us to start from.
What's that process look like of someone actually writing a book with you?
It starts with, I mean, a lot of people come to us at different phases. So some people come to us with a book that's done that they need help marketing. And then other people come to us with the finished manuscript. And then, you know, I'd say over half of our clients come to us with an idea, or not even an idea. Sometimes it's just like, I know I need a book because I want to be a paid speaker. Help me. So, it does depend where they come to us, you know, where in the process they come to us with. But we always start by trying to understand their goal and making sure that they have a book concept that is more likely to achieve their goal. So that's where it always starts. If you come to us with a finished manuscript, then we would do a full review of the book to make sure that it's set up. And we're also looking at things inside of the book. You know, have you seeded what you're trying to accomplish? Because a lot of people write a book and at no point, you know, they want to be a paid speaker, but at no point in the entire book have they mentioned any talks they've ever given or anything they've done. So it's a good idea to just kind of seed your business. And, you know, I don't necessarily like books that are all just case studies of somebody's business, but having a few examples and stories, I think really helps. So we're looking at it from that perspective. But if you're an idea, we've got that. We work on that hook like we talked about, and then we sit down. You know, the writing coach works with you to craft an outline, and this is really your map for your book. And it's the same if you're going to have somebody write your book for you. So you know, if you're going to get one of our writers to assist you, or even you know, ghostwrite the book for you, you need to have a really clear outline. And we want to make sure that every chapter has kind of two purposes. One, it fits with the hook. So that hook is that thread all the way through that book, you know, with the promise of what this reader is going to get from the book and you know, what's a little bit different about this book. And then every chapter also has to kind of act like a little salesperson. Because when somebody opens up your book or is looking at it online, they look at the cover, they look at the title, and then if they're remotely interested still, they're going to flip to the table of contents and scan it to see if there's anything new or interesting or different there. So it's really important that you spend time figuring out each chapter and making sure they've almost each chapter has their own hook, something interesting, something that's going to get curiosity. And then you start writing your book or you send it off to the ghostwriter who will interview you to, you know, get the book out that way. So that's how it all begins. And from there, everybody kind of tackles it differently. But then it goes through the usual process of editing by multiple people and so on from there.
What would you say is the most difficult part of that process?
Once they have the hook, which, you know, as you've identified is tough, you know, yeah. What makes you unique? But once they have that, the next part that's really, I think, and painful is probably the best word to use it, is when it comes back from the content edit. So you've finished your draft, and I don't think it's as painful if it's been ghostwritten, but it's still painful. You know, you finished that first draft, you kind of feel like, yes, my book is almost done. It goes to the content editor, and the content editor essentially rips it apart, right?
That's what they do. You know? That's what they do.
And that's their job. They're making the book great. But, you know, it's really an emotional thing when most people get that back. And even myself, the first time my book was, you know, edited, I got it back and I just felt like, oh my God, I have so much more work to do. And I thought I was almost done. So there's this emotional low that hits because there's questions to be answered. You now confront all those doubts that you've probably confronted many times, but you kind of got over when you sent it off. Now you're all those doubts kind of come back and you realize that you still have a lot of work to do. So that I think is the next most painful part of the whole process, is kind of overcoming that and just powering through and getting that manuscript into, you know, a much, much better condition.
What's your thought on online courses based on books?
I don't know. I guess it depends. If somebody just takes a book and turns it into an online course and people are willing to pay, you know, 100 or 10 times or 100 times what they paid for the book, I guess more power to you. But, but you know, to me, I think it's a great foundation to start from. And we actually we have some clients that have courses that we create books from the course. So we kind of extract some of the best nuggets from the course and create a book. So we've gone the other way. But if you're creating a course from a book, I hope you're adding a lot to it. A lot of examples, a lot of case studies, a lot more meat, because I don't think a book is anywhere. Tom, did I lose you?
Yeah, just cut off for a second. Well, that was strange.
Weird. Well,
that's
okay.
Skype. That's Skype for you. Yep, that's...
It sure is, yep.
Yeah, because with the online courses, the reason I ask, because I have one business... where we actually take people who have books,
yep,
who are tired of being on the road all the time and wanting some passive income, you know, and that's why I thought, like, wow, you're like, in a way, you're the beginning of my funnel for that business.
Yeah, exactly. No, that, and it is. It's just some people, I was thinking, if you just take a book and just turn it into a course, that's like, you got to add something to it, but I assume you add to it, right?
Well, we just take it as an idea, right? Like, we know people will be interested in this topic. Now let's really figure out everything that you did not mention or couldn't show in the book, because it's different,
yeah,
right?
Like when you're it is different.
Yeah. But it was, yeah, I just thought it was funny.
How much do you charge for that? I'm just curious.
Between 6 and 15,000, depending on all the bells and whistles that people want. So it's actually less than writing the book, because I think you had 18,000 on there, right?
If you want it ghostwritten from start to finish,
that's
but people
I mean.
Who write it, yeah, people who write it themselves, it costs about 7,000.
Yeah, so it's a very similar price range. Yeah, I think it's a good bundle. And we do get people that come in sometimes and they say, look, I want a book and an online course. And I'm like, well, we don't do the book part.
Okay, cool. Yeah, ask me that question again, and we'll, yeah, because now I have some context around it, because I was like, I don't know where this is going.
Yeah, I was just kind of ripping off of it, because I was like, hold on, like, this is very similar. And I was like, oh yeah, you're the beginning of the funnel.
Yeah, no, it is. It really is. And it's actually a piece I've had communications with two other companies, but the one company charges $20,000 to start with. And I was like, there's no way the people that are in my funnel are going to want to spend $20,000 for the most part.
No. And I've looked at my competition too. And there's one thing which I do, which none of them do. I have another company that does nothing but market online courses.
Cool. Okay, right. Cool. Yeah.
So it's one of these things that we actually get more business in because most people have online courses they're not selling.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's cool. And it is a good fit. We should definitely talk about this another time because I have been looking. Yeah, I have been looking for somebody to kind of partner and refer to on this space because it does come up for my clients. They're like, oh yeah, I want to build an online business from this. You know, I've got this idea and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, the other companies I've looked at, I thought, you know, the one company I didn't like how they did it. And then the other company, I thought they were just way too expensive.
Yeah, the pricing is a little insane. Okay, let me ask you again. So what do you think about online courses?
Well, I think online courses are a great fit for a lot of people who write books. Because a lot of people, I mean, paid professional speakers, you don't want to be on the road all the time. So you probably want to have a course that people can buy if they're not coming to speak or if you're not going to be in front of them. And the book, you've done a lot of the hard work. When you create a book, you've done a lot of the hard work of figuring out what you're about and what you're teaching. And it provides a great base. Of course, the book is not enough. You know, you have to build on that book and you have to add to it and add steps. But the cool part about a course is that you can create a lot of visuals. You can create worksheets and tools and things that people can get to actually get the result that you're probably, you know, trying to teach them or help them to get. And it creates some income for you, whether you're on the road or not. And it all starts with the book. Like the book's a great lead gen into a course too. So yeah, I think they're a match made in heaven. But there's a lot more work to do on a course once you've done a book.
Definitely. Have you ever tried using webinars to attract clients for your business?
Not for this business, but my past life was in the real estate training and education space. And I did a lot of webinars for that business. But I know personally, I'm webinared out. But that's me personally. But you know how your own personal bias plays into what you tend to do and how you tend to market. And that's kind of where I've landed. But I'm in the online space and online marketing since 2007. So webinars for me have been around for a long time.
So let me use the repackaged version. Have you tried the masterclass?
I haven't. No, not no, that's a good, I like how it's been reframed. But no, I haven't. It's something I should probably start adding to our funnel as well.
Yeah, I just sort of wonder because it seems like you have to educate the people on your process quite a mm-hmm. bit. You know, because it's not a simple thing. Like you don't just wake up one day and be like, you know what, write my book for me. And it's done. There's a lot of questions in there, you know, especially about the marketing part and the actual process and the editing. There are a lot of moving pieces in the writing a book and then getting it successful too. And then when you said getting paid speaking gigs, that's a whole lesson of its own if someone wants to do it themselves.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it is every step of the process is an entire learning module, and it could be its own course. I mean, there are courses on every step of the process. So yeah, it's certainly, there is a lot of education involved. And, you know, a lot of our clients though, they're looking for somebody like us because they don't want to learn at all. They really want somebody who's going to do it all for them. So I think there's a happy medium, and I think maybe a masterclass is a great way to go and fill in the gaps. I do a ton of YouTube videos and I found that they are a great way to connect with people, answer questions, and you know, attract people into our business, as well as help people who maybe wouldn't be able to afford or don't want to work with a company like us. So I'm able to help a lot of people with that and feed a lot of people, you know, the right people into our business too through our YouTube channel. And I have a lot of fun with YouTube, and my editor sends me to space and puts me on the screen on TEDx and things like that, you know, because we use green screen, so he can put me in a lot of places, which is fun. and I never know where I'm going to end up.
That's hilarious. I've seen some of the videos, and they're really well produced, I thought.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's like a passion project. I have a lot of fun with them. So yeah. And like I said, I've got a great editor now. So, he always surprises me. He's got a great sense of humor. So I never actually know what's going to come back when I send it to him.
Have you seen leads come in from YouTube, or is it more of like a branding thing that, you know, people get a little more familiar with you than when you actually sell them? They just feel like, you know what? I know her, so I'll buy from her.
Both. Yeah. I think actually 3 of our last 5 clients came through from YouTube. And then I've had a lot of great conversations with people who already feel like they know me. So I feel like I have to catch up. You know, I've got the work to do to figure out about them.
That's true.
Because they already know all about me. So yeah, it's, I love YouTube. I'm a big, big fan of it for people to use in their business, and even our authors marketing their book and becoming experts. If you don't want to be traveling on the road all the time, going to conferences, I think YouTube is a great secondary way to get people to know, like, and trust you.
Yeah, it's funny when you said like people feel like they know you, and I've get messages like this all the time. We're like, Tom, you know the thing you said? Can you tell me? And I'm like, what thing? When? I mean, I've done like 90 or 100 or I don't know how many hours of podcasts now. Like, which thing are we referring to? Because to them, it's like obvious. They just listen to it, and I'm like, hold on a second. Like, did I even say that?
I know. I always have to get a point of reference too. And some people comment on a video, but they're asking a question about a different video. So I'm going, what are you talking about?
That's awesome. How large is your team?
We've got 17 people.
17 people.
But there's so many pieces to the puzzle. So, yeah. You know, this is a team that's going to have to grow over the next probably 12 to 18 months because, we've got kind of 2 people for each major role on the team right now. And you can quickly see how, you know, as we add more clients, you have to have more and more people. But yeah, I love my team. It's one great thing. I moved from Canada to Los Angeles, and it's been phenomenal because the people I can attract to work for my company here, I never would have found them in Canada. I have Emmy nominated writer on my team. I have people who've worked with New York Times and Wall Street Journal bestsellers. Those things are very rare in Canada.
That's true.
So, that the kind of talent that I'm able to attract. And because Los Angeles is kind of a hub of people who are freelancers in general, when you offer a lifer of freelancing an employment position, they are so excited to not have to hunt for their next gig every 3 or 4 months that, you can attract some really phenomenal people and not have to pay premium rates. So it's been great for me and for my, a startup business to have access to that kind of talent and have it all around me here. So it's great.
Yeah, getting great talent is super difficult in some areas of the world. I agree. Julie, where can people find you?
Well, if you want to check out some of my book launchers videos where I go to space and all those kind of things, booklaunchers.tv. And for everything that we do, booklaunchers.com.
I'll add those to the show notes. I'm just writing them down now. Okay. Awesome, Julie. Thank you for coming on.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with Tom, the Digital Architect Liebelt. For more tips, tricks, and interviews, come visit smartbrandmarketing.com. That's smartbrandmarketing.com. And join the newsletter. It's free.